Let's talk about tweets and take a quiz so we can find out who the smartest one is. What happened this week in Survivor?
Yes, that's right. This week in Survivor, big thanks to Twish Mount Rushmore participant Will from America for the theme song to this week in Survivor here with us to play our quiz and talk about everything going on. Here is the great Jordan Kalish. Jordan, how are you?
Doing pretty well. A little bit sad that that Aubrey Bracco is out of the game, but hopefully she won't be out of the game for too long. Rooting for her to get back, but having a good week and a really, really great double episode of Survivor.
Lots of fun, lots of stuff to talk about. Of course, Aubrey Bracco, who could forget? Did she play Twish one or two times?
She played Twish once. She was actually the first Survivor contestant ever to come on Twish. I believe it was the first season in the format where you're going against other people. So yeah, she was the first Survivor to come on. Very, very appreciative of that. And she's welcome anytime.
Yeah. I actually really enjoyed her secret scene this week where she talked about time on the edge of extinction, where she said, "This is brutal. I haven't been tortured like this since I played This Week in Survivor History with Jordan Kalish."
I had a feeling that's where you were going with that, and that's Rob Cisternino officially off the Twitch Mount Rushmore for that comment.
What? All right, let's bring in our guest this week. I'm very excited to talk to this person. I've been really looking forward to the opportunity to get them on a podcast with me, and we're going to be talking about the week in Survivor with a very talented guy. And if you follow Big Brother on social media, I'm sure you've seen something that he's created. And so I'm very excited to get him with us talking about some Survivor, the great Amon Adwin. Amon, how are you?
I am so good. So excited. I like, it's like so funny so far that we've come since So You Think You Can Podcast. I felt like podcasting, with Rob Cisternino himself was like the final stage, like the boss level. And I had just like gotten snipped off right before it. And now I'm finally here. So yeah. I've reached the pinnacle. It's so exciting. I'm very happy to be here.
Rob's like the underboss, though. It's really podcasting with D. Schoolish. That's like the head boss. That's when you get to the end of the
game.
Okay.
All right. Let me talk to Amon about this. Amon. So, I know that, So You Think You Can Podcast really had a lot of flaws, but that when I take a look back, though, we have, there's so many people, so many talented podcasters ended up coming out of that, and of course you being one of them, and you have done so many cool things in these last couple of years, and you're coming in with so much heat right now, coming off of that you put together this what would you call this, a lip sync of the best moment in Big Brother Canada history?
Yes, definitely. For the RuPaul's Drag Race fans out there, that was definitely a lip sync for my life. I put together this reenactment of the famed double eviction in Big Brother Canada 5 when Queen Aiko Wong ended up besting probably still who I consider one of the best Big Brother Canada players in history, Netta Kalantar. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, I'm...
And like, don't forget about the great Cindy with an S.
And Cindy with an S, yes, for making that choice. Yes, Queen. But I as Rob said before, like if you followed me, you've probably seen me post a few videos here and there. And normally they do pretty well, but I did not expect for that to blow up the way that it did. And on top of that, I got a message from Aiko Wong on Twitter like yesterday. And she was like, "Oh, by the way, we're going to, you know, shoot you a little shout out on ET Canada." I'm like, "What do you mean ET? Like TV? Like, what does that mean?" And lo and behold, my video was like side by side with Aika doing like a reaction to it. And it literally brought tears to my eyes of joy. I was gobsmacked. I couldn't believe it. It was so kind and so sweet. And I'm glad that anybody, you know, appreciates my brand of cuckoo. I really found a home for myself in these, BB Twitter streets.
The BB Twitter streets. Yes, Jordan, that Amon and I, both stan, Queen Aika Wong.
Yes.
Yeah, Aika Wong, fantastic, Amazing Race contestant. Really, really great.
Come on. Don't get canceled already.
I know. I'm kidding. Look, I'll admit this. I've seen like Aman's name, like for you know, I guess since So You Think You Could Podcast, but I always thought that Aman Adwin, I had heard the name before. I thought that Aman was a Big Brother contestant. I did not realize that he was So You Think You Could Podcast, because I've seen his name everywhere. He has like 7,000 followers on Twitter. I figured he was a contestant on the show.
No, he's a prolific person on social media.
No, I know that now. I listened to most of his Taran show yesterday and learned a lot about Adwin. About Adwin already on a last name basis. Yes, he's like, well, I was actually just looking at Rick Devin's Twitter account, trying to mine some stuff for the social media segment. But yeah, Aman, very, very prolific. And yeah, I know who Aika Wong is. I listened to enough. Rob has a podcast to know that she's a Big Brother contestant. And then she seems to be pretty popular.
Yeah. And Aman, I saw that you tweeted that you're gooped.
I was gooped. Yeah.
So we're gooped to have you here to talk about some Survivor with us here after this double episode of the season. And so Aman, how are you enjoying the pre-merge of the Edge of Extinction?
So I mean, I've been seeing a lot of complaints on social media and just from people that I watch here in Philly with, that it's like, oh, it's a little boring, like I'm not really feeling it too much. And to be quite honest, like, I love Survivor, huge Survivor fan, but I'm always, and this isn't in a derogatory way, but I'm always a little bored at the beginning of the season because there's just so many players. And I think that something that really works for the show is that, of course, yeah, towards the end of the episodes, in the beginning, you're going to get more acquainted with them on a personal level, because at least one of the tribes is going to go to tribal council. So then you got, you know, the second half of the episode is devoted to the inner workings of whatever tribe is about to vote somebody off. But I've always sort of been, you know, sort of overwhelmed with the amount of personalities that I sort of had to become acquainted with. So I always find it a little bit hard to keep track of storylines. So I'm never really I don't really expect too much during pre-merge. But I find it pretty interesting with the Edge of Extinction and the, you know, the whole sort of Redemption Island, but not really Redemption Island type deal. And Reem specifically has been giving me so much entertainment. I just love her bitter Betty Ash, just like the welcoming committee to every person that walks up on that beach. It is the most hilarious thing. She is so upset with everyone, even if they have nothing to do with her leaving. It's just, it's so great. I've been enjoying it. I'm not as down on it as a lot of people that I've seen, but it's definitely going to be something that's going to heat up towards the merge, which we are definitely coming up towards. So I'm excited. Yeah.
So Aman, I was thinking about how, you know, you did this lip sync of the double eviction from Big Brother Canada 5, where Netta and Aika are really getting into it. And I felt like that this week was a perfect opportunity for a Survivor lip sync of the fight between Reem and Chris this week that took place on the Edge of Extinction. I would love to see that.
Sure. It's funny. I've been getting, in the comments of those video, of that video, I've been getting a few requests about, oh, do this next. So I'm definitely, it's definitely something that could be in the pipeline for sure. I've sort of like stayed out of the Survivor waters in terms of, video making, but hey, you know, never say never. It was definitely an entertaining fight. So. Yeah, I'll think about it.
I love it so much, the Reem versus Chris battle. And I don't want to make this all Big Brother, but I was wondering if you thought that could potentially Reem and Chris be a Karen and Kevin Martin for a new generation.
Oh, I think that's very comparable. I also think that Reem is just a little bit more harsher than Karen. I just feel like, I mean, we get to see Karen a lot more in the live feeds, and you sort of get used to her behavior. And whereas with Reem, it's just all prepackaged content. So when I see Reem yelling at Chris, I'm like, damn, Reem, like, you don't have to ream him. Like, it's okay. Like, calm down. Like,
that little puke, Chris Underwood, I would not even take him to Big Wendy's.
I'm definitely a piece of me is hoping that whatever competition that these people have to partake in, that it comes right down to Reem and Chris. That would just be the Super Bowl of this season. I'm excited for that.
I would get a Dave's Classic, and it won't be David Wright. Okay. Kevin Martin and Chris.
Okay. That's somebody who you don't know who that is, Jordan.
Yeah, I know who Kevin Martin is.
Wait, so you haven't seen any of Big Brother Canada, Jordan?
Not Big Brother Canada.
You watched Big Brother US.
I watched Big Brother 19, which not great, and then I also watched the latest Celebrity Big Brother, which was more entertaining. I like Tom Green. He's Canadian, so I guess I have watched a little bit of I have watched a Canadian Big Brother.
Listen, Jordan, Kalish, okay, nobody wants to hear that you will not give Big Brother Canada a try.
I'm not anti Big Brother. I'm happy that that many Survivor fans are able to get their reality TV fix in more than one way. But I'm just I don't know. I just haven't gone all in yet.
Okay, all right. So Aman, we have not talked a ton about the first time players this week or this season. So let's give them a little bit of their due. So when we get to the merge this week, what do you think is going to happen with the Kama tribe and with Joe as being their resident returning player in tow?
I mean, I definitely think that the claws are gonna come out. I mean, as far as Julie and Julia are concerned, we saw them talking about it this past week about, you know, hey, look, like once it's down to the merge, like it's gonna be hard to get him out. So we really just need to go gung ho and just go as far as possible. So I definitely think that we're gonna start to see the newbies wanna take some control of the game. Especially since, I mean, I don't know how many of them are super duper fans, but I have to imagine that to them, like, I feel like if I were on this season and I were on a tribe that kept winning and a large part of why we kept winning was because of a returning player, I would know that to the audience in these episodes, it looks like they would not know who I was. Because I just know that that's just not how the episodes are edited. So I would feel a sense of responsibility to myself to make this season about me. Like, I got here. Like, I this is my shot. I made it to the beach. I got to the point where I can hear Jeff Probst say, come on in, guys. And as Cochran said, I am one of the guys. Like, be one of the guys. And so I if I were them, I would definitely start thinking about getting him out. I wouldn't even think that it would be that difficult to get him out. Because sure, Joe wins a lot, but he cannot win every single challenge. Statistically, it just isn't very probable. So the minute that he loses, get him out. Get him out. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what Ron is going to do because Ron seemed to be hesitant about wanting to let him go. And I mean, I guess on that respect, it sort of seems kind of, you know, intuitive to be like, hey, like he's gotten us this far. Let me continue to ride his coattails and make sure that we can create some sort of alliance. But you're all on your own as Survivor. Like, you really have to look out for yourself. So do what you got to do.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that first off that Ron this week, who, you know, we had a week ago where then he told Julia, okay, go through his bag while I distract him. Then all of a sudden was like, well, I don't want to live in a camp without Joe. I like having Joe around to catch all these fish. I like eating. It's the merge. This is it. This is going to be the end of it. This is the time to get rid of Joe.
It is. Like, you have to. I mean, I think Taron Armstrong, he tweeted something around the time, like, yeah, I find it interesting how they're all, you know, saying that we're never going to be able to get Joe out during the merge, but that's been the time that Joe has been gotten out. So, like, you gotta go for it, you know? Like,
yeah. It seems like that Julie has a good hate into Joe. I don't think she hates him, but she is, she's the one who's not taking her eye off of Joe. That Julia seemed like that she even got turned around a little bit by Joe when he told her that, hey, you could be a threat too.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you have to keep your best interest in mind consistently. And yes, keeping Joe right now is good for you. It is, but think about it down the line. when it, like, when else are you going to be able to get him out? And so I hope that Julie keeps that energy. Honestly, like, people always say this when it's Survivor seasons, when they're returning players, like, oh, I'm so, like, when they land through the helicopter or whenever, oh, I'm so glad. I hope he's on our team. You know, he has so much knowledge. Screw all of that. Screw all the knowledge. Like, they were beginning players at 1.2, and some of them have made it to the end in 1. So, like, you can be that person. Get rid of them. I know that it's probably not the best thing in terms of, like, people that want to see these returners players and, like, get their redemption, but who cares? Honestly, they had their first chance. They had their second chance. Some of them even had their third chance. It's your first chance. Like, get them out. Like, that's mm-hmm. That's just how I feel.
Yeah. It's been a while since Survivor has done these mixed seasons with the returning players and the first-time players. But, you know, Big Brother has, you know, continued to, you know, do this format, you know, every couple of seasons in the U.S. and in Canada. Do you think that the people who have seen this play out on Big Brother are probably more likely to feel that way, Amon?
Possibly. I mean, that definitely could have a lot to do with it, because they tend to do well. In terms of a Big Brother, they always tend to do well. They either win or they make it pretty close to the end, and it can become
that puke Kevin Martin, and it wasn't like, fair.
He played all the way before. So I definitely, and I feel like as far as Survivor returning players, like, it's always, Survivor is just so much more of a narrative when it comes to the story arcs of the contestants. Like, Big Brother, you get a little bit of that, but it's mainly just, like, it's live feeds, evictions, you're done. But with Survivor, it's all prepackaged. It's all about the emotional journey of these players. And if you're a returning person, you know, the producers want to make sure that story is being told. So people are more likely to want to root for them. And I'm like, girl, like, how many more redeems or redemptions can you get? Like, I might sound like such a hater right now, but that's just, I don't know. I just feel like you have to do whatever you can to make sure that you have the best possibility of sitting in that final three, and not only sitting in that final three, but winning that final three. And if a returner is there, mm-hmm. it is so much harder. It really is.
So are you all in on the new players? You're rooting for them to knock out the returnees.
I'm definitely rooting for them to knock out the returnees. I did not care to see, or I did not care when Aubrey went. I'm fine with Joe going. Not as high on Kelly Wentworth. And I mean, David is cool and everything. I relate a lot to David, but I'm just starting to see like a repeat of how he acted on this first season. So it's like, well, if you didn't learn much then
yes.
Come on.
Okay. So you're here for the new talent.
I'm definitely here for the new talent. I hope we get to see a lot more of them. Because at the same time, I want it to be a good story. Like, I don't want to just get introduced to Julie and Julia as players, like, in week 7. And then now I'm supposed to root for them till the end. Like, we got to see more. And I'm hoping that the merge will provide us with that.
Yeah, it would be helpful, I think, also for Julie and Julia to not be on the same tribe as each other. I think that they could really spread their wings and, you know, get away from having such a similar name if they could somehow not be, you know, working together as much.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I was getting them confused. I mean, even with people that aren't even on their team, like, I was, which one is Eric? Which one is Gavin? Which one is Ron? Like, it's really a cluster right now.
Yes. Amon, let's talk a little bit about then the new players that are with David Wright and Kelly Wentworth in terms of the rivalry that seems to be forming between War Dog and Lauren.
This episode, I mean, I didn't really tend to notice it too much, but Lauren is, I mean, she's going through it. This girl is going through it. Like, she's going to need extensive therapy after this. I hope that she got what she needed afterwards, because it's just every episode you see her like being hungry, but then she can't eat the rice because she throws up after the rice, and she's not used to crying, and now she's crying every day. And then she gets to these challenges. She wants to win and she wants to do well, but War Dog sucks, and sometimes she sucks, and so she's yelling out War Dog to keep going and to push and to
War Dog.
It's just like, right, it's ridiculous. And it was something that I found like super, super funny during this episode. I think it was the reward challenge, or the, I can't even remember because they lose them all, but it was one of them.
A lot of challenges in this episode.
Right. She was like yelling at War Dog to, I think it was the one where he had to throw the balls and like hit the spinning thing to make the flag fall down. And he's like, she's like yelling at him, and he's like, please don't yell at me. And like when they finally make it to the next stage, she's like, okay, you did a good job. You did a good job. It's okay. And like, she's like doing damage control mid competition. It's just like, girl, you really gotta, you gotta chill. And War Dog, I'm surprised that he's handling it as well as he seems to be.
Where, on social media or in the game?
The game. I haven't seen much of his social media, so I'm very excited to be enlightened by that.
Yes. Jordan, that I heard that War Dog has been asked to throw out a ceremonial first pitch for the Mets this season.
I believe that was 50 Cent, and they chose 50 Cent because they figured that he'd probably do a better job.
They're gonna go with Baba Booey.
No, but look, War Dog has confirmed on Twitter, not a baseball player. I don't think he really needed to confirm that, but I, as I've said before in the past, I lived in the town where War Dog is from. They actually have a very good baseball team, and he was not on that team. He was a football player. So give him a little slack there. But come on, I mean, you got to throw better than that, War Dog. Come on.
Especially if you're asking to be put back in, like he was the first to throw, he failed, he left, he came back. It's like, learn from your mistakes.
Yeah. He's like Chuck Knobloch, like when Chuck Knobloch forgot how to throw.
Jeff was like, if you do not know how to throw a baseball, this challenge will prove it.
Yeah, Jeff is like, you can just sense Jeff even getting just angry with the lesser tribe. He's like, even when they succeed, he's like, oh, that was awkward, but they made it.
Yeah, even talking about Lesu in the challenge, he is like, Lesu is not a tribe that gives up. They just don't ever win the challenges. Like, I mean, it'd be weird if there was a tribe that was like, look, Jeff, we give up. We what are we doing here? We submit.
Honestly, I really do not need Jeff like ever like narrating or commentating on my life, because I just feel like it would just be such a Debbie Downer for me every morning.
Yeah,
maybe they need like a DH. They need to put the DH in Survivor, so then War Dog could just hit. He doesn't have to throw.
is that the purpose of the DH? Is it the throw?
Yeah, well, the throw or field. I mean, maybe he's more of a hitter. He's a power
hitter.
Can
he catch?
Haven't seen that yet. Probably not. He's on Lesu.
Okay. All right, and then Amon, we also lost Big Wendy this week. What were your thoughts on Wendy?
Oh, she's a sweet girl. She really is. I loved watching her leave, like, because it was just so, she was just so happy and smiley. And for a moment, I was like, when she went, and got to the crossroads, I was like, this girl might actually leave. Like, she seems like she is, you know, going out to pasture. She's fine. She got what she needed. So I was sort of shocked to see her grab the torch and head to the edge of extinction. But she was really sweet. I mean, I'm hoping that these, people will finally eat those chickens, because girl, like, those chickens are the major tetis of the season. They have been snowing everybody. They've made it to the merge. Like, I've never seen chickens fare this well on Survivor. And so hopefully without their guardian angel, Wendy, they can be devoured. Sorry to the vegetarians out there, but they gotta go.
Come on, isn't it amazing that the chickens seem to just keep walking in front of the camera?
I'm like, I really, really, the haters will say that this is fake, but I truly believe that is like organic chicken walking in front of the camera. Like, that is just so funny to me. Like, and the fact that they like are pausing in between their confessionals, like, you know, I'm here for it. I'm here for it.
Yeah, it's the opposite of boring chicken.
Yeah, I thought for a second, like, they had to like just put this in. This is like another shot that they just put the chicken in. But Aubrey is like reacting to it, and they like rack focus on the chicken. So
right.
Yeah, it definitely was there. It is amazing that they just keep that when they're doing these confessionals, that the chicken just keeps walking by. These chickens need to move on over from Survivor and head over to World's Greatest, Amon.
Yeah, I mean, hey, when you know, the calling is, they're missing their calling right now. I agree.
Yeah, that could be a top act on World's Greatest, Big Wendy and her trained chickens who can walk around and do all these commands on camera.
I'm honestly very surprised that Wendy seems to have so much control over, I mean, because it's two tribes now that she's convinced not to kill them. Like, are they, what are they so afraid of her doing that they just, you know, acquiesce to her request to not kill them? It's honestly quite amazing, really. Because if I'm hungry, girl, I'm plucking, I'm roasting, I'm doing everything, okay? I am. I'm hungry.
Here's the thing. I think those chickens, though, like, the chickens don't really know what's going on. I think they just know that you know, that Wendy's the one who's giving them the most attention. She's, like, breaking them out at night in a rainstorm, keeping them away from their little house. They're probably like, who's this crazy woman? I'm happy she's gone now. Like, I think the chickens have been traumatized by Wendy.
Do you think they don't like Wendy?
They don't know that the other people want to eat them. Like, they don't speak English. They don't speak Survivor. But I think they just know that Wendy's been the one, like, messing with them the whole time.
Well, she doesn't have as much pull with the actual tribes that she's in. She had to, like, take the flint away to get one group of people to not kill the chickens. And then she had to, like, literally free the chickens so that they could get away. They just, like, the other tribe would, like, Manu would eat the chickens if they could catch them. So she really hasn't convinced people to do anything.
I really honestly think that they're not even, I could be wrong, but it just seems like they're just like, okay, well, they're resigned to just letting the chickens roam free. Maybe we'll see a little bit different activity in the merge when there's more people to sort of, you know, like, tackle them. But it looks to me like they're just like a part of the tribe, you know?
They have numbers. They have numbers because they have the chicken.
Right. But do the chickens, we don't even know what beach they're going to be on at the merge, though. I mean, I'm assuming they'll probably go to Kama. I'm assuming, like, Joe's been on Kama the whole time. They probably, like, have the best shelter. Now, would the chickens move with them? Or is production going to, like,
keep them
catch
on
the
beach with the chickens? I think that's the move.
Or they should send them to the edge of extinction.
I don't know if anybody can catch the chickens.
Yeah, maybe not. But I guess you get enough people, like, you got to form a circle around it. But the thing is, the chickens fly, right? How high could chickens fly?
I don't think they fly that high. Amon, do you know anything about chickens?
The aerodynamics of chickens are lost on me, but I'm definitely team send the chickens to Extinction Island because I'm waiting for Reem versus the chickens. That just seems like it's a beautiful fight waiting to happen.
Dude, these chickens are so lame. I'm going to catch them and I'm going to eat them, bro.
That'll be the end of the Reem and Wendy friendship if they introduce chickens to Edge of Extinction.
Wendy, I love you, girl, but I'm eating these chickens, dude.
Hey, but Reem could win the challenge. Reem could be the one who comes back into the game.
I guess so. I guess that's
possible.
I'm here for it. I'd be very excited. Jordan, I'd said on one of the podcasts last week that is Wendy like the Daenerys Targaryen of the chickens. Do you think that Wendy feels like that, hey, my chickens are just young now, but when they turn into full grown chickens, then I will have a ton of power in this game?
I would not be surprised if that's what she thinks. I just, like, I've seen chickens on Survivor and they tend to just get weaker and skinnier, like Juicy J. They don't usually start breathing fire and, like, take over Yunkai or Astapor or anything like that.
They might get turned into giant chickens by the end of this game.
I mean, that would be great. And I mean, then they could be like, you know, instead of having the day 39 breakfast, you could have, like, the day 39 giant chicken.
Okay. All right. We still got a lot more to do with the social media and play this week in Survivor history. But I want to take a moment and talk about AIS, the auto insurance specialist. The hidden immunity idol is a great insurance, but you got to play it. AIS is going to help you with something that you will always need, auto insurance, making sure that you get the best deal on the insurance that you have to have, that you can go ahead and give AIS a call, because these insurance companies, they're always trying to stick it to you, just like Jordan Kalish with poorly worded questions is always trying to stick it to me. But you've got the opportunity to save a lot of money by finding out the best rate available to you on your auto insurance. All you have to do is go to to AISinsurance.com/Rob. Use the AIS Smart Quote technology to save you money on your car insurance. Don't make your next insurance payment until you check your rates with AIS. You're going to go ahead and tell them everything about your car, how many miles you drive, and they're going to match you up with the best carrier for you. And you could end up saving a lot of money, or you could find out that you already have the best rate and you'll feel so much smarter. You'll give yourself a fishy. AISinsurance.com/Rob. It's the easiest thing you're going to do today, and you can save some money. 1-800-777-4AIS, AISinsurance.com/Rob. Okay. Gabby already recorded a This Week in Survivor social media jingle, but we heard that one. So let's bring in our resident recorder of these jingles, Jacob Seeger Weinstein, to take us into This Week in social media.
Tweets, baby, tweets. Rob reads them for you. If tweets were a tribe, they could beat Lasso. Tweets.
Hey. Amon, do you think they could a bunch of tweets beat the Lasso tribe?
A bunch of tweets, a bunch of Facebook posts, a bunch of MySpace posts, LinkedIn posts, whatever post. They're all going to beat Lasso right now.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about all of the social media that gets put together. We have our patrons also flag a bunch of stuff and send it to us. These are things that you have to check out. So we got some good stuff to talk about once again. Let's talk about some tweets from Aurora. Aurora doesn't get to talk a lot on the TV show, but she has a great Twitter account. She was very excited to get these peanut butter sandwiches. You know, here's the difference between Survivor and Big Brother, Amon, that on Survivor, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches are a reward.
Yes. Yes, definitely a reward. I can see why. I mean, if you're eating rice every day, a nice little splash of jelly will do the tongue wonders. In the Big Brother
house,
is that
a punishment on Big Brother?
It used to be. That's what it used to be. And they,
that's not bad. Like, I could eat. I mean, I wouldn't want to eat it for lunch every day, but that's like a pretty good lunch.
Well, it's a good lunch, but sometimes when you have to eat it all the time. And Taryn and I just talked about Big Brother 3, Danielle Reyes, another queen that Amon and I both stand. She did not like to eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
What happens if you're allergic to peanut butter? Does that do they give you something else?
I don't think that people had peanut allergies at the time that
that was pre-peanut allergy. Thing.
Yeah.
They probably just give you jelly.
Wait, how like, old is Big Brother? Was that before food allergies were invented?
No. I don't know. It's been a long time since. It's been, you know, over 10 years that they do slop and not peanut butter and jelly. But Aurora said, I would have totally gone all 2002 Survivor Amazon for peanut butter. Hey. And points to Aurora for using the actual filming date and not the air date of Survivor the Amazon.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what she was thinking.
It's either she like made a mistake that was right, or she really knows her stuff.
I'm gonna guess the latter. I think she really knows her stuff.
Yeah, Aurora knows her stuff for sure. She went to the Wikipedia page and looked up the filming dates for Survivor the Amazon.
Yeah, nobody even had to take clothes off to get these. These survivors have it so easy these days, Amon.
They really seem to do. Wasn't it Russell the other day that was like, the reason why the chickens are running around is because they give them too much food anyway. So I'm definitely noticing a slight decline in the desperation. It seems like you only get one person, and that's probably Lauren right now, that is like, oh my God, I can't do this. This is the worst thing of my life. I want to go home. And I want to see more of that. I want to see people like really hungry. I want to say emaciation. Is that bad?
to defend Russell's point, I mean, there were 3 out of 4 seasons in the history of Survivor around the time when Russell played where people had to live with Russell Hans. So I mean, I kind of get it. It has gotten easier.
Jordan, you are dead to me. Okay.
Against you, Russell.
Malcolm had a tough week this week. This was a tough week for Malcolm to go back and watch this episode. Of course, Malcolm was a victim of the first Survivor Combined Tribal Council. He said on Twitter this week, nope, Jess, no, to literally everything. Hashtag Survivor. Poor Malcolm.
I really think, like, and people have made this point on Twitter before, and people have made this point when Malcolm was voted out of Game Changers. If they gave these two tribes, like, a couple hours on a beach, why can't we see them strategize together? I feel like it would be, you know, it would be interesting TV. You would get to see some sort of like cross-tribal dynamics that you don't get to see now, because everyone's just whispering to each other at tribal council, which is exciting. I mean, it is fun to see that. But if we were able to really hear those conversations, I think we would get a nice window into what the players are actually thinking. And then I don't even think it would be really, you know, it wouldn't be that unfair. Like, I don't think people would be complaining that, oh, Malcolm got like screwed over by a twist. He would have then got screwed over by the fact that people were strategizing together, and that's what happened. I mean, I really think put him on a beach. It doesn't have to be for a long time. Like, we'll see like a, you know, 5-minute scene of the two tribes talking to each other, then go to tribal and vote someone out.
I mean, did anybody complain this week that it was unfair what happened to Big Wendy?
Well, no, because it wasn't Malcolm. I think people weren't complaining because it wasn't Malcolm. And look,
so you just want to fix Malcolm getting voted out a couple of years ago?
No, look, I think if Malcolm got voted out and the two tribes got a chance to strategize together, yes, I would have been disappointed that it was Malcolm, but I think it would have been fair. I think this, and not that it was necessarily unfair. I mean, look, they had they had this plan before they actually did it. They didn't say, oh, we're going to screw Malcolm over with this twist. It was going to happen to somebody. It happened to Malcolm, but I think it would just be more fair and it would be more strategic if we got to see the two tribes together on a beach for a little while.
Aman, do we need to have the survivors have a chance to sidebar on a beach before the combined tribal council?
No, I disagree. I mean, I kind of enjoy the rush of the whispering in the side conversations during tribal council when it comes to twists like these, because sometimes these contestants like will get up and start whispering for like the most obvious vote, and I'm like, sit the hell down. But for this,
I mean,
in
this
particular,
is great TV.
It is great TV, yeah. But for this in particular, I enjoy that. And, you know, you still get to hear everybody's line of thinking in the next episode when they come back to their respective camp. So I don't mind it. Malcolm getting voted out was probably it was sad to see. It was gut wrenching. But I mean, I tweeted this the night of, and I was like, it was like literally like looking both ways before crossing the street and then getting hit by a plane. It was that good. It was great.
Yeah. And just like, you know, Aman is going back and looking at the Big Brother Canada 5 double eviction where Netta goes out. Yeah. It's a great moment because you have a really big player going out in unexpected fashion and people are, you know, making moves on the fly. And I think that as producers, I think that you want to see what's going to happen when people are scrambling under the gun. And I think it's exciting TV. And so, yeah, you might lose Malcolm. You could have lost, you know, David or Kelly in the combined tribal council the other night. But I think that, you know, you got to, you know, take some risks sometimes.
And to be quite honest, like, I'm starting to come around to it the longer and longer that I watch Survivor. But when I first started, it was always so upsetting to me having to watch Tribal Council and to have Jeff Probst, like, glean all of the strategy out of these players. I'm like, you're going to give away their plan. Like, what they said is going to happen is not going to happen now, because now you're making them talk too much and everybody's second guessing. But now I'm starting to really appreciate how Jeff is, you know, sort of extracting all its information, because it makes it a lot more interesting, because then people do start scrambling, people do start second guessing whether or not they can put their trust in whatever alliance or whatever, you know, trust cluster, as it were, mm-hmm. that they formulated. So it's definitely a very interesting dynamic.
It's a game, but it's also a TV show. And so right. The producers, you know, need to make sure that it's exciting. And hopefully, you know, I've heard sometimes that, you know, the producers can overdo twists sometimes, Aman.
Oh, yes,
but
yes.
You know, the idea is, you know, you want to try to make it as exciting as you can. Okay.
All right. I think there should be a challenge where the losers have to wear toad costumes for the full episode.
Yes, that'd be good. Okay. This was one from this week. A woman on Twitter who goes by the name Annoyed, at IDKLover9, she posted a tweet that said, "I can't focus with this girl, Victoria, looking like Eliza from the Wild Thornberries."
I did see that. And she really does. Like, she's the grown up Eliza Thornberry, which is great because she has outdoor experience.
Yes. And Victoria responded, "Yo, I'd kill to be Eliza Thornberry. That bitch can talk to animals and I could get them chickens back."
Okay.
Yeah.
Good for you, girl. That was a nice lean in. I appreciate that.
If you're Victoria and you have that social ability to get to make Aubrey trust you and not play her immunity idol, she could probably convince the chickens to come back, even though the plan would be to eat them.
So Aubrey was the chickens in this analogy?
In the analogy, Aubrey was the chicken. Damn. But yeah, I mean, I think Victoria is very very social and manipulative player in a good way.
Yeah. Aubrey is all like, so I'm like the chickens, and Victoria is like Eliza from the Wild Thornberries, and then Jeff Probst is annoyed on Twitter.
Who's Nigel Thornberry in this scenario? Who's Tim Curry?
Is that her dad?
That's her dad.
Yes, the dad.
Okay, well, I have a tweet from Victoria's dad, who that Rock, R-O-C-H, Bay Monday, says, my daughter at V Bay Monday was completely deceitful, lied, and made people feel bad. I'm so proud I'm a bad parent. So he's leaning into him on.
I'm enjoying this this family take on Survivor. I mean, I feel like my mom would be so just like embarrassed by the amount of like things that I would do on Survivor. Like so I'm glad that someone's parents are you know, very encouraging of their child's treachery. It's mm-hmm. very inspiring.
Well, my mom came for the family visit, and I said to her, like, Mom, I've done a lot of crazy stuff so far. And she was happy. She was proud.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's good. I mean, at least, I mean, for a Big Brother, you really don't even get a chance to really talk to your family. But at least for Survivor, you get to see them before it airs, and you just brief and be like, look, like, when this stuff airs in a couple years or in a year or so, like, just I just want you to know I did this, 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 and that. And I mean, you know, if you accept me for who I am, you will accept the things that I have done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. And then Eric Reichenbach has another tweet. He says, it's confusing because there's someone named Wendy, but also someone who looks like the girl from Wendy's. And right now I'm eating a Frosty from Wendy's. And boy, man, he'd be really confused if he was watching Big Brother Canada also.
This is like so meta right now. Like, what is going on? I feel like the simulation is like lagging.
There's somebody named Wendy, and then there's a girl who looks like that she's from Wendy's, and then why is Hamza working at Wendy's now?
And the Frosty, is that the Frosty from Survivor China?
Yeah, it might be. It might be Frosty from Survivor China. Okay. Andrea tweeted out, Aubrey and I are now the only women to be voted off Survivor with an idol in our pocket. The Lost Game Changers showmance out in full force. So that's like a nice thing for Andrea and Aubrey to share them on.
I was surprised by Aubrey actually going out with both of those things in her pocket. I was like, damn, like, good for Eliza. You know, she really snowed her and got her to, you know, really feel complacent. But I was a little shocked, being that it is her second time. And I think that, you know, you have to sort of, you know, really, really go for it and really make sure that, you know, even if you are in a position where you feel good, just keep the safety, keep it, make it definite. So I was shocked.
Okay. I've got a tweet from Abby Maria, and Aman, I need to bring in your shade meter to help me analyze what Abby Maria is saying, because I know that you're on Twitter. You are very tuned in to who's being shady and who's not.
Oh, so, neck deep in it.
Okay. Here's Abby Maria. She tweeted, Wendy is winning. She at least has a boyfriend. And I am just, quote unquote, the most annoying survivor ever. At least she got applauded when she got voted out. Don't know much about her. And then a mere 45-minute episode every Wednesday on my TV. And when it comes to me, well, it is complicated.
Okay, wait, read that again. I feel Abby like she's Maria. Making multiple points, and I'm trying to decipher.
Yeah,
I'm trying to find it.
I'm not sure if this is a pro Wendy take or an anti Wendy take. She says, Wendy is winning. She at least has a boyfriend, and I am just, quote unquote, the most annoying survivor ever. At least she got applauded when she got voted out. don't know much about her than a mere 45-minute episode every Wednesday on my TV. And when it comes to me, well, it is complicated.
And how many retweets did that get?
I have to look.
Zero retweets. Zero retweets.
Zero retweets for that.
Zero retweets? Okay. Sounds like she's a little bitter. Definitely trying to throw a little shade at Wendy, but I think it's more so at the audience. She's just mad because, you know, everybody views her as this villainous, venomous person.
Yes. People are stanning Wendy, but not enough people were stanning Abby Maria.
Not enough people were stanning Abby Maria. And yeah,
I guess a couple of the castmates wanted to stab Abby Maria, but we're talking about standing Abby Maria.
Abby Downer.
was this tweet in response to anybody, or was she just, you know, spewing some shade out of nowhere?
Jordan, do you have it open?
I do. It was actually a response to Aurora. Aurora said she doesn't see the comparison. Okay, so Abby starts by saying, "I don't agree with the chicken dead me analogy. That is all. LOL, right back at you, lady." And then Aurora said, "I just don't see the comparison at all, just saying." And then someone named Dylan Andrews, who has an elephant emoji in his name, says, "Because there is none, the only similarity they have is they're both Hispanic, but people got to generalize." And then Aurora responded, and then, so I'm very confused by this whole thing. Okay. I really don't know what's going on.
Here's the good news. In 2 weeks, Abby Maria is going to be my guest on the podcast. And we'll get into all of this and talk about where Abby Maria is coming from on the Big Wendy takes.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested in the saga because that was an interesting tweet.
Yes. I love Abby Maria. Okay. Let's Stephen Fishback had a tweet, and he talked about how he says, "I'm upset too, but there's no reason to take it out on JT." Of course, Aubrey made this a thing.
Like JT style embarrassment.
JT style embarrassment. I hope I won't have some JT style embarrassment when Amon beats me in the This Week in Survivor History quiz today.
It could happen.
Okay. That would be some more JT style embarrassment. Okay.
Steven Fishback. What a guy.
I want to do a podcast with Steven Fishback about like the first question I ever wrote for a Twitch quiz. Just like the thing that just started everything else.
Okay. So, speaking of Steven Fishback, then he tweeted, Aubrey says, "What kind of game did you come in hoping to play?" And Wendy says, "Wait, game? Hashtag Survivor." And Big Wendy responded, LMAOOO. I hate you all. And then cry. I think this is a emoji with crying, and then another one with like closed eyes.
This is very printout. That scene reminded me, and this is actually something that happened this week in Survivor history, and it may have reminded me of this because I had already done the research into what episodes happened this week, but it reminded me of Gabriel Cave, like when John Carroll is questioning him on the road to beach, and Gabriel is sort of saying, I'm not playing a game, I'm just here to live in a society. It kind of reminded me of that, but in this case, Wendy was not the one voted out at that tribal council. You have to wait one more.
Right. I do think that might be unfair to Wendy, that if she was like already in on the plan to vote out Aubrey, I think, you know, you could either have two reads on that, Amon, where one, it's like Big Wendy is on another planet and like has no idea about what the strategy is, or two, she's not a great liar and she's already been told, all right, we're voting out Aubrey tonight. So when Aubrey says to her, hey, you want to work together? Big Wendy is sort of like, homina, homina, homina.
Yeah, I definitely think it's the latter. I think that she's sort of just, I mean, she's in a tribe of her own, you know, with her chickens. And I think that, you know, she's just trying to latch onto anything that's going to guarantee her safety. And she had such a stroke of luck by getting separated from the Lesu tribe. And she's trying to ride that wave. And unfortunately, you know, the wave overtook her this
wipe
time.
Out.
But, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I got another Big Wendy moment from this week. So I tweeted out the podcast that I did with Gabby, which I think people should definitely check out, plus the feedback show with Nick Iadanza. And so I sent out the tweet. I caught up with Gabby to talk about this week's 2 Hour Survivor. On the latest RJP, we discussed some red flags for this week's first boot, branding suggestions for the Edge of Extinction crew, why ladies are finding idols and crying for ice cream. And then Big Wendy replied, quote unquote, "This is Rob's sister Nino here. I thought you were doing a shtick," crying emoji. So I think that Wendy thought I was very committed to this bit where I'm this character of my sister Nino.
I'm confused. Yeah. So she's saying, like, wait.
Is she making a joke or does she actually think that's your name?
I think that she, in hearing me talk, I think that when I say I'm Rob's sister Nino, I think she thinks I'm saying I'm Rob's sister Nino.
So did Wendy not watch Survivor the Amazon? What's going on?
I mean, that I think that that's a possibility, Jordan, that maybe she does not have the Aurora level or David Wright's DVD collection.
What? Come on.
I'd be very committed to that bit, to be Rob's sister Nino.
Hey, I sense another podcast showing in the air. That sounds promising to me.
put it on the wheel.
Okay. All right. This is another one that, okay, Amon, I need you to tell me what's going on here. So Randy Bailey tweeted out, "Survivors have gone home with idols in their pocket. Others have gone home with a secret advantage in their pocket. Please give at Aubrey Bracco her props for being the first to go home with both." this is an exchange between Randy and Aubrey. Okay.
Okay. Oh, God.
So Aubrey writes back, "Babe, it's only because I wanted at Andrea Belke to feel more at peace and closer to me." And Randy replies, "Do not call me babe."
You know, honestly, like, I never, ever, ever, ever can tell when Randy is actually being, like, is being short with somebody, or that is just his humor, because even when it seemed like, I mean, right on down to that show that you had with him, I think it was like a couple, maybe a year and a half ago, where he storms off the show and I'm like,
which one?
Exactly. I just never know. It just seems he's so committed to that shtick. So I don't know. I mean, I honestly, Aubrey, if I were you, just please don't call him baby again.
So Aubrey, I think that she didn't know how to respond either. She said, "Complete joke. Thought we were fair game after Randy was sassy on a podcast about me. I guess we've broken up again. I apologize, Mr. Bailey." He wrote back, "Don't call me Mr. Bailey either."
That seems like shtick to me.
Okay. Well, we will find out, because in 1 week's time, less than 1 week, this Thursday, I will catch up with Randy Bailey on the podcast.
So do you think it's like when you schedule someone for the podcast, do you think it like causes them to be more shady in their tweets leading up to their podcast?
Definitely not. I think it has no impact on how people are writing on social media.
Oh, we're two for two here with Randy and Abby Maria.
He's saying it's like the these MTV folks in the challenge, and they beef up the social media beef right before their season starts.
I think that it's sort of like the Wendy's chicken or the egg. It's more likely that I see people posting crazy stuff on social media, and I say, I got to get this person on the podcast.
That makes sense.
Hey, oh, I got to, you know, ratchet up my social media because I'm going to be on the podcast. Although in the case of Spencer, it did end up working out that way. But I don't think that was intentional either.
There's also a good tweet by Randy here. Randy is sitting sitting on the road. There's like 10 dogs climbing on him. And it said, "It took over 10 years for me to pull the trigger and get a new dog. Meet Charlie, Marcus, Corinne, Kenny, Maddie, Ace, Kelly, Jackie, Dan, Jillian, and Paloma." So it seems like he's named his dogs after his former tribe members from Gabon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll ask Randy about that. I don't know if he just took a picture with a bunch of puppies, or if he really, that seems odd to me that he would get like,
I don't think
nine
he has 10 dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Yeah.
I mean, it honestly seems right up his alley for me. Like, somebody that, you know, seemingly bitter needs something to balance all that out. So yeah.
He did say on the show that his only friends were his dogs. So I guess maybe it checks out.
Yeah. Amon, do you watch The Secret Scenes?
The Secret Scenes of Survivor?
Yes.
I do not. I'm like, I just recently started watching Ponderosa like 2 seasons ago.
Oh, well,
so like all of
that.
the Sorry. Like all of the extra footage, I like my Survivor like straight and neat to the point. I don't get it as into it as I do with Big Brother.
Mm-hmm. So Jordan, did you see the secret scene with Rick and the hermit crab?
I saw the picture that he posted. I didn't see the video.
Yeah. So Rick tweeted about this secret scene that shows him on Extinction. And he said, I found the hermit crab on the edge of Extinction that did not have a shell. Luckily, I didn't have a lot going on that day. We went home shopping and found a winner. Check it out in the Survivor secret scenes. And I have a secret voicemail that did not make the feedback show with Nick from Tara from Albany, New York, has an alternative explanation about what's going on here.
Hey, Rob and Nick. This is Tara from Albany, New York. CBS posted a secret scene from Extinction Island this week in which Rick Devins helped a hermit crab find a new home. Now that he's been voted out, is Devins playing for the Sia money? And what are the chances he'll make it back into the game? I think he has a good shot.
Amon, do you think is does Sia care about hermit crabs?
No. Yeah. I'm gonna say no. I don't think that the hermit crabs are really far down on the list for things that they're gonna care about.
She only cares about mammals and birds like chickens, which are not mammals.
That's right. Amon, does Big Brother have like a Sia equivalent? Like, is there somebody who is like a celebrity who like follows the show very closely and then like gives things to the contestants?
I mean, I would say recently we've discovered that Rihanna is a big fan of Big Brother. I mean, she followed Casey, the recent winner, past season, was like supposedly slid into her DMs for some sort of collaboration. We've yet to see the fruits that was supposed to bear. But
let's go.
Hey, there are people that are watching. So, yeah, I mean, and of course, you know, we found out that Tamar was a big fan as well. So,
yes,
we definitely have a few people out there that are watching. But
Riri doesn't give anything away to the contestants, right?
I don't think so. No.
Didn't Rihanna have a song Shine Bright like the Diamond Power of Vito?
Yes, many, many moons ago.
It was Shine Bright Like a Frankie, I think it was. Okay. All right. I guess maybe is Ariana Grande the she doesn't care about the show.
No, I don't think, I mean, I think she, well, you know, well, she did give, I think, like, at least Zach, like, some free backstage passes to her concert.
And but she let Vanessa and, one of the Nolan twins, come to the concert. That was a prize one time.
Right. But I think the further and further away BB16 gets in history, you know, I think she's done.
She's got a lot going on.
She made her contributions.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So I think that's all I have for this week in Survivor social media. We're going to get into everything with our quiz if Amon is up for it. Amon, you're going to stick around for the quiz today, right?
Of course. I'm up for it.
Okay, good. All right. Before we get to the quiz, let me take a moment and thank one of our other sponsors today. Those are our friends over at betonline.ag. And they are doing a lot of March Madness stuff going on. March Madness is off to a wild start in the tournament with an incredible excitement along the way. Now we're down to the Sweet 16 this weekend, down from the Thrifty 32 earlier this weekend. The Sportsnet Bracket Challenge presented by betonline.ag continues as we compete against the other Podcast One Sportsnet shows. Now, I do not know anything about the college basketball I'm on. So what I did was I recruited Jordan Kalish to fill out the bracket for Rob Has a Podcast. And I said, Jordan, I need you to fill out my bracket. And he said, oh, great, because I haven't been watching any college basketball. I'm like, well, why is that great? He said, because you don't need to know. You don't have to watch it. It's all luck anyway.
You don't. It's mainly luck. Look, I think watching the games does help a little bit. But
you think?
Yeah, it helps. But look, former Twitch contestant Alex Forstenhauser and I were talking about this, and we were like, look, it's either going to be real. It's going to be really good if we do really well in the bracket. It's going to be funny for the podcast if I do really badly, because then you could give me crap. The worst thing that could happen is if it's completely mediocre. Right now, we are at the 53.7 percentile, so we're on the mediocre trail right now. But we still, as of the recording of this podcast, we still have 14 out of our 16 Sweet 16 team. So our max points are pretty high, which is really the most important thing.
All right. Well, sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag. Use promo code podcast1 for your 50% welcome bonus. Don't worry if your bracket is already busted. And that's speaking to us, Jordan. The fun will continue each week as you have your chance to win money and the opportunity for one lucky winner to win a pair of shoes signed by none other than Shaq. It's the hashtag Sportsnet Challenge Bracket presented by betonline.ag, March Madness. And don't forget to use the promo code podcast1 for that.
If we win, like, you get the left shoe, I get the right shoe. Is that how that works?
Yes. Okay. All right. Let's get into our quiz with Jordan Kalish.
Twish.
All right, Jordan.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about the This Week in Survivor History quiz.
The This Week in Survivor History quiz is an idea that we came up with a couple of years ago. It used to just be This Week in Survivor History, where we would talk about episodes. And then it became a quiz where you were, you didn't go against anyone. You were just trying to get a specific point total in order to either win or lose. And then four seasons ago, I think at this point, you started going up against other contestants. And that's why we have Aman Adwin here. So that's everything that you need to know about the history of the This Week in Survivor History quiz. But I think you wanted to know more about the rules, right?
Aman, you still here, right? You didn't hang up?
I'm still here. I'm so nervous though, because literally I was talking with Matt Ligori, who I think that you guys have for your first episode this season. We were like coordinating BB update scheduling. And he was like, you know, it's so funny. Like, I've been listening to all of the Twitch episodes this time around, and I was like, wait a second, what's Twitch? And I was like, oh, This Week in Survivor History. So I guess we're off to a good start for me.
All right, would you consider yourself well versed in Survivor history?
So I mean, yes and no. Like, okay. I feel like I came very late to the Survivor party. So what I did was I became such a huge fan, and in doing so, I binged like 20 seasons in a row. So there are a lot of things that stick out to me, that then there are a lot of things that sort of, you know, have fallen into the memory dump. But okay.
What's your favorite moment from pre-merge Survivor Cook Islands? Because that's always what I like to hear about Survivor.
Survivor Cook, is that the one where they had the races
together?
That's
like not memorable at all. Don't worry. yeah, Survivor Cook Islands pre-merge was like so many forgettable people. But we're going to talk about some more memorable stuff during this.
Allegedly. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Possibly.
So, all right. Please, can you just give the rules for Aman?
Sure.
As a newcomer to Twitch.
I'm so excited.
You each get to answer two multiple choice questions. I'll give you the four categories of each question, and you'll be able to choose them based on what you think you'll be able to answer. If you don't hear the multiple choice options and you're correct, you get 2 points. But if you do that, you open the door for your opponent to gain 1 point and steal the point. You hear the multiple choice options, you get 1 point for a correct answer. If you're wrong, don't worry, your opponent cannot steal. And then we're going to go to the final round, in which you could both earn points. And then if we need to, we have a tiebreaker, double tiebreaker, whatever we need to do in order to have a winner. So,
Aman, you got all that?
I think so.
Okay. If you hear the choices, you can only get 1 point. If you guess without the choices, you get 2 points.
Okay.
And if you're wrong, when you don't hear the choices, I get the steal.
Oh my God. Okay.
And vice versa. Okay.
Yeah. Pretty simple. Okay. But here are the, here are the categories. We have tribe nominal aphasia. We have Rob. I was sort of chuckling to myself when you said I don't want any JT style embarrassment during the quiz this week, because one of our categories is JT style embarrassment. We have Joey a saving.
Unlike you to just to chuckle to yourself.
Yeah. Well, yes. It depends what it's about. And then we have America. So those are the four categories. Aman, which one do you want first? As the guest, you get to start.
I'm going to go with, what was it? The aphasia one. I was pre-med,
tribe,
and that term just stuck out to me.
Tribe nominal aphasia. So we're going to go to Survivor Game Changers. The episode is Dirty Deed from March 29th, 2017, 2 years ago Friday. In a confessional, who incorrectly calls their tribe Nuka and then corrects himself by saying Nuku, making the point that not even knowing what the tribe is called is indicative of its struggles.
Oh, God. That's sticking out to me so much, too. Go, real quick.
We have the Purple Pants Badass now on the line.
Oh, no. I really wanted to come out of the bat swinging, but okay. I'm going to need the multiple choice. I think that'll help me.
Also, you have a lifeline, Amon.
Oh, that's right. Yes, you have the lifeline. You can ask any, either Alexa or Google or Siri. The answer, you could ask them the question and try to get the right answer from any of these. It will not work out, but you can use it once if you want to.
You can use any voice-enabled assistant to help you. You just have to hold it up to the phone.
Okay. My Siri's on strike right now, so I'm going to save that one for later.
you wanted the multiple choice, right, Amon?
Just give me the multiple choice, yeah.
Okay, we have A, Aubrey, B, Michaela, C, Sandra, D, Varner.
It was definitely Aubrey. Definitely Aubrey.
It was definitely Aubrey. And Amon, you get 1 point there. You're off to a good start. You have a 1-0 lead. Yep. Aubrey was on the Nuka tribe. And Aubrey known for her very entertaining confessionals throughout now her 3 seasons of Survivor. Hopefully, I think whether she gets in the game or not, we'll still be hearing from her probably for the rest of the season.
Good,
so
good job, Amon, having faith in yourself.
Maybe I have to have a little faith that maybe just a little bitty thing can go right.
Yeah. Yay.
All right. Rob, you have there's 3 categories left. We have JT Style Embarrassment, Joey a Saving, and America.
Joey Saving is a category?
Joey a Saving. A-S-A-V-I-N-G. It's
all right. I have to take JT Style Embarrassment.
All right, so we're going to stay in Game Changers. At the tribal council in which JT was blindsided with an idol in his pocket, which was referenced in the latest episode of Edge of Extinction, who did he vote for? Who did JT vote for?
Okay, I'm pretty sure JT voted for Michaela.
Michaela is correct. Rob, you get 2 points there. Yeah, JT goes home with the idol in his pocket.
She was sipping the tea when JT got voted out. Oh, that was hilarious.
It's good she didn't spill the tea, but yeah, she was sipping the tea. It was actually,
style embarrassment.
Yeah, and she goes home. Aubrey, though, did vote with her buddy JT there. So 2 tribal councils where somebody goes home with an idol didn't work out so well for Aubrey in Survivor history. But Rob, you're up 2-1. You did not hear the multiple choice options. Yes. Good job. Amon, we have Joey a Saving and America.
Joey a Saving and America. And I'm assuming this is Joey Englem, right?
I don't know. We'll see.
No.
Sometimes
or is it multiple.
Sometimes
multiple
I try
Joey's.
To. Sometimes I try to trick Amon. You with the But it could be. I'm not saying yes or no.
Okay. Joey a Saving America. You know what? Let me take. An election year is coming up. Let me take America.
America, okay, and you picked one that's maybe a trick, a little bit of a trick on the category name, because America was a tribe name in Survivor history, but that's not what we're talking about. We're going to Survivor Marquesas, the end of innocence from March 28th, 2002. This is 17 years ago Thursday, so Amon, you were not watching Survivor at this point, but as you said, you've binged all the seasons, so you have seen this episode. In the SOS challenge, in which both tribes had to create a distress signal in order to be noticed by a ship captain, who ran up and down the beach waving an American flag? Probably the hardest question in this quiz.
Who ran up and down the beach with an American flag? Oh, God. See, I'm going to have to ask Siri this.
Oh, yeah. Ask Siri. Okay. Oh, you could also hear, if you want, you could hear the multiple choice options before you ask Siri, or you can choose not to hear the multiple choice. You know what? Give it a go. Maybe Siri will give you the answer.
Bring in Siri Fields.
Yes, yeah, I'm going to bring in Siri Fields. All right, I'm trying to figure out how I can ask this question.
Why is it Siri Fields and not like Sarita from Survivor Redemption Island?
You have to ask that question.
No.
I'm just going to say, okay, so who ran up and down the beach with an American flag in Survivor? That sounds like it's a pretty concise. All right. Siri, who ran up and down the beach with an American flag in Survivor? Oh my god, the first freaking result that I get is US flag code. So I guess that one is
So what is the new question? What is the first number one rule on the US flag code?
Give you the first number one rule in the US flag code?
That won't actually get you points, but we don't really need to go through that. So Aman, do you want the multiple choice or do you want to guess?
Okay. I want to guess. Right. You can hear the choices too.
Okay, I'll take the choices.
Okay, here's the multiple choice. We have A, Boston Rob, B, Gabriel Cade, C, Pascal English, D, Zoe Xanadakis.
What was the third one?
Pascal English.
I don't even have like a vague memory of this one. I am just going to go with Boston Rob. It just seems a little bit out of character for him, but that's the only thing that I can really like put any energy behind right now.
Why is that out of character for me, Aman?
I just feel like he's not the type, but...
Boston Rob.
I'm just going to say Boston Rob.
Boston Rob was a participant in this challenge. His tribe lost the challenge. Pascal English's tribe won the challenge, partly due to the red color on the American flag. So, Aman, you don't get any points there, unfortunately. Rob, it is... you get the last question
so
here.
It was Pascal.
It was Pascal.
Yes. Okay.
But he does not get points because he said Boston Rob. Worlds Apart, for Odd shame. Women Out. This is the episode from March 25th, 2015,
sorry, tough break,
4 years ago, Monday. In the tribal council before the merge, Joaquin was voted out by a vote of 4-3 in which the minority voted for Joe, who was set up as the swing vote, saving Joe and allowing him to become a 3-time player.
Okay. I think... That could you just repeat the question one more time?
Sure. At the tribal council before the merge, Joaquin was voted out by a vote of 4-3 in which the minority voted for Joe, who was set up as the swing vote, saving Joe and allowing him to become a 3-time player.
I think I know the answer to this. But let me hear the multiple choice.
Okay, we have A, Dan Foley, B, Mike Holloway, C, Sierra Dawn Thomas, D, Tyler Fredrickson.
I'm going to say, I think we have to do it for Sierra.
Do it for Sierra. The notorious SDT is correct.
Fan favorite, Sierra Dawn Thomas. Yes, do it for Sierra, Aman.
Sierra.
And potentially, if she votes Joe out, maybe they're not the loving couple that they are today. So, Rob, you have a 3-1 lead going into the final round, and the final round is called the death match.
Wait, was that when she became a game changer? When she kept Joe in the game to let him be Joey Amazing?
I don't think she ever really became a game changer until
come
she was
on. Don't
until she was
shade.
Cast on Game Changer. Okay, fine.
Shade of it all.
Yeah. Look, there have been plenty of game changers that were not able to play a second time. Where's Dina Bennett? Why wasn't Dina Bennett on Game Changers? She's great. But okay, so deathmatch, merge tribe names. That's the name of the deathmatch. We're about to merge in Survivor Edge of Extinction. We know that somebody is coming back into the game, but we don't know what the new tribe will be called. But do you guys know the merge tribe names in Survivor history? You will pick a number from 1-4 to decide the order. And Aman, you're going to pick the number because you're the one who's losing. I will give you the name of the merged tribe, and you must tell me what season the tribe was from. Four answers will be given during this round, and if you're incorrect, you may not gain any more points unless we go to a tiebreaker. Therefore, if you're incorrect on your first response, you open the door for your opponent to gain 3 points in this round, which means, Aman, you could win this here before, if you're right here, if you get all your answers right and Rob is wrong on his first one, you could win the quiz. But Aman, you do have to get the first one right in order to continue in this quiz, because if not, Rob will win based on the fact that he has the lead. So first, Aman, pick a number from 1-4.
I'm a twin, so I got to choose 2.
2. Oh, okay. And it's probably good that you chose this.
Sorry. Are you an identical twin?
I am not. I'm fraternal.
Okay.
Born first, though, so hey.
Yeah.
Yes, I haven't referred to you as Amani's brother yet during this podcast, so that's good. Somebody's been listening to the Tyrant Show. Okay, so number two, it's good you picked this as I am a big Derek Jeter fan. We are going to go with the tribe Gitanos.
Gitanos. Oh my god.
Gitanos.
Oh.
No multiple choice. You just shout out the season.
Get the season.
Oh God! Do I have to know? Do I have to know the number of the season, or can it just be the name of the season?
You'll accept the name or the number, right?
I'll accept the name. The name or the number. Yes.
Oh my God! Oh my God! I'm so upset. All I can think about right now is Vitas. I don't know why.
Yeah. Is it the Vitas tribe?
Okay. I'm just gonna come to yoga. that soundboard must be just like ginormous, because how?
I actually have two separate soundboards. One is like for the seasons before season 35, and then I have a second soundboard for post season 35.
The fact that you can find them so quickly is still just like blowing my mind, but that's why we keep you around, Rob. But I have to guess. I'm sorry. I just have to go with season. You know, I just turned 25 this year, so let me go with 25.
Survivor Philippines is number 25. It's probably unfortunate that you picked the season that is an odd numbered season, because that was a fall season. Unfortunately, we are in the spring. You should have maybe gone with your gut. You were thinking of Vitas. The Gitanos tribe is from Exile Island, which was won by Vitas' brother, Otis.
Oh my God.
That's a little bit of a leap. Yeah.
Thinking of him, though, I was like, I don't know why his face just kept popping in my head.
Gitanos means gypsies, if I remember correctly. And Rob, we have let's see if you guys could get the other three here. Here is Rob's next one would have been Tikiano. Rob, do you know what the Tikiano tribe is from?
Tikiano, I feel like it is. I'm going to say it's Survivor One World.
Yes, that is Survivor One World. Aman, your next one would have been Jacare.
Jacare. Is that Survivor?
Bet Aurora knows this one.
I bet
Big Wendy doesn't.
I think Rob might know this one.
I can't remember what we were talking about in terms of Aurora for the last season.
I'm pretty sure Dave Johnson would know this one.
What's that? Okay, so it's Survivor. Is this Survivor Millennials versus Gen X?
No, it's Survivor of the Amazon. Rob was on this time.
Jordan, I think that's probably unfair to have that in there, even though it wouldn't have gone to me in this particular, but it easily could have. And I think that would have been, you would have had a scandal on your hands.
I will say this. Look, I have the number order. You were not eligible to receive that one. I have to admit that. You would not have gotten that one. The fix would have been in, but
hold on. Oh, this is like a whole new scandal that you're opening this. So you're saying that when the predetermined order that you have changes based on what number I pick?
Yeah, it's like the alphabet strategy changing when somebody wins immunity. It's a thing.
Hey,
it's a
you
thing.
Know,
look, I can't give you that. I can't give you the Jacare tribe is one of your. I think that's the bigger scandal.
Well, I'm saying you shouldn't even have it in there.
But it's not Amazon.
That you should change the order of the questions based on what numbers I pick.
Look, I would not have put Amazon in if there were more than four merges this week in Survivor history. The last one, just to change the subject, because Rob. I know I'm going to get heat for this, and I like the heat. I like the heat.
You like the heat?
We're here in Twitch, baby. I don't need no more heat. So look, Rob, the next one is Dara or Dara. What is a Dara tribe from? Stupid, bad tribe name.
I feel like You know, I don't know this one off the top of my. I feel like it's more of a recent season. Is it Game Changers?
It's Korong.
Korong. Okay. Yeah.
We're in the middle of Korong. Like, listen, we don't need no more heat, baby.
Yeah.
I just made a Korong reference too. All right, and this was fun. So Rob, you win the quiz. Low scoring week this week. You win 3-1. You are back on a winning streak now. After you lost to Mary last week, you're 3-1 on the season. No, sorry, you're 4-1 on the season. I think
off to a good start.
This is week 5.
Okay. I'm sorry to the listeners that I couldn't give Rob a run for his money. If anyone was rooting for me,
no need to apologize. Amon. We only get to talk about these shows. What do you do when you are not talking about Big Brother and Survivor?
I work and I study. I've been studying for my MCAT for like ever now, and I'll be taking it in May. So I'm like, just cannot wait to be done with that. I work and I study and I volunteer at a hospital. I'm like, just, you know,
what do you volunteer doing?
I'm like looking after patients and like, making sure that, sometimes I'll play piano in the atrium, even though I really don't play a lot of songs. I don't know that I should not have put that on my application. That was like a really, wow. that was a mistake in hindsight,
Is there a better person than Amon? Talented, nice, he's funny, he volunteers, smart, the total package.
Oh, stop. I mean, I'm just trying to make my dream come true and finally, get into medical school. And any way that I can do that, you know, that's what I'm trying to do. So it's rough and it's long and it's tough, but I'm doing
that's
it.
How they weed out the people that aren't supposed to be there.
That is definitely true. It's definitely true. That's something that I've come to accept, but you know, I find all of my escapism in Survivor and in Big Brother and shows of the like. So
yeah,
this has been so fun to do this. It's so fun.
Now, Amon, in your Twitter bio, it says that you're not just BB commentator, aspiring BB or Survivor contestant. Do you think that that is in your future? That Jordan Kalish might be a time traveler? Is it possible? Is he right after all? Will you one day appear on one of these shows?
I hope so. I've applied before. I actually did not apply for either this past year because of just how much stuff that I have going on in life right now. But I really, really hope so, because it's like, I'm sure a lot of other super fans can attest to this. It really, and even you, Rob, it's really an itch that just has to be scratched. Like there's just no other way to describe it. Like it's something that you see in your head. Like in terms of like Survivor, I already feel the sand in between my toes. I already like see myself like winning challenges, losing challenges, about to get voted off, escaping a vote, being in control of a vote. Like I just see it all happening already. And it's something that I really, really, really want. So I'm hoping so. I'm putting a lot of my energy into it. And so I believe in the law of attraction. I just feel like the longer and more that you push for it, you know, it'll happen eventually. I hope so.
Yeah. And do you have a preference on which of these shows?
It's so funny. People ask me that sometimes. And my answer is always, I honestly feel like the show that I would probably that I feel like I could actually win would be Big Brother, but the show that I would probably want to be on more is Survivor. Mm-hmm. I know it sounds a little bit counterintuitive, but I just feel like I have a bit more of a confidence in the way that the game works in Big Brother that I feel like I could be a contender. And I feel like Survivor is just so much more challenging, which is exactly why I would want to do it. It's just, the grit of it all. I just love it.
And the thing is, Amon, even if you don't get cast on one of these shows, and I think you should, I thought that you had been at one point, you could always play these fan-made games. There's a million of them out there. Some of them make them into episodes. So look, you could always like go down to Brooklyn or go down to Central Park and play Survivor if you want to.
Okay,
well, I've definitely seen those, and they're very well done.
They're well done. But
sometimes you get medevaced.
Yeah. In all seriousness, though, Aman, that I really do think that, you know, if it wouldn't take you that long to put together an application, and I definitely feel like a Survivor would take a long, hard look, considering your background and your talent. And I know that they are always, you know, they're trying to improve on getting these casts more diverse. And so I think that you'd have a great shot to, you know, get in there.
I think a lot about how exactly I would want to put all of that information together that would make me seem the most appealing as possible. And, it's definitely something that I really want to, you know, show to people that are in my demographic, and not only just in my demographic, but people that do feel a little underrepresented in these game shows. And look, like, I know that this conversation about diversity has been pretty, rampant over the past few years, in terms of Survivor and Big Brother. And I know that, like, in the grand scheme of things, these are just television shows. It really isn't that big of a deal. But I mean, hey, I mean, representation is important no matter where you are, no matter what, you know, field that you're in. It's important to see people that you relate to. And, it's just in giving you, like, a good sense of your own image. It's very helpful. And it's, you know, just to see people that are like me play Survivor, and just good players in general. It's just, it's something that's just very, very inspiring. And Big Brother and Survivor are really like my Jerusalem right now. It's just all things lead back to that. It's just always a good time. And I hope that I can leave my mark in some way, in the eventual future.
Okay.
Aman, who was the first Survivor you followed on Twitter?
Ooh.
This is the game that we play. Who do you think the first Survivor you followed on Twitter was?
Who was the first one? I'm going to have to, when did I start? I didn't get on Twitter until 2016. And when was that? That was like, was that Game Changer era? I think the first one was, it was probably Steven, actually, because that's when I first got into I think it was when I first got into RHAP. And like, you know what? Well, I guess it would have been you. Well, you know, now that I think about it, it probably was you, Rob, because I was already following you for RHAP, but I didn't even think about that because you're just so, like, you're such a meta figure now that I don't even consider you just a Survivor player. So I guess technically you, but aside from that, probably Steven.
Okay.
It was actually, and this is going to make sense when I tell you the correct answer. It's Caleb Reynolds followed by Hayden Moss. But the first survivor that you followed that was not a former Big Brother contestant is Rob's sister Nino, who is a Big Brother podcaster. And the first Big Brother, the first contestant you followed that does not podcast about Big Brother or was not on Big Brother was actually Russell Hantz. Unless Russell Hantz, he may have podcast. I don't know. Did Russell have a podcast about Big Brother?
Him on.
Didn't Russell have a relative on Big Brother?
Willie. I didn't even know you could do that. Like, see when somebody followed that. That's some sneaky shit right there.
Yeah,
oh my
you
God.
Just you scroll. You just scroll down. You scroll all the way down.
Yeah,
wow.
It's good you follow. It's good you follow much fewer people than follow you, because that would have been a lot of scrolling.
Yeah, people are like obsessed with the skinny ratio thing on Twitter. Like, oh, why do you follow people that are more people than, or why do you have more followers than you have people that you follow? And I'm like, well, really, it's not even about that. You want me to go back and follow every single person? It's just unrealistic. It's just like, who has time to do all of that?
Yeah. All right. Well, you can follow. You can be one of the many followers of Aman at Aman Adwin on Twitter. You got the Insta also?
I do have Insta. I'm less active on Insta, but it's all the same. I'm on Adwin everywhere. So,
right. And by the way, Rob, we've been recording this podcast, we were at 53rd percentile, I believe. We're now at 65.2 percentile
on
ESPN brackets.
On the bracket from...
I don't know what happened. I didn't see the scores, but
D-Schoolish.
Yeah, okay. We got better.
There you go. All right. So what are those percentages that you're giving me? Like, what, like on ESPN?
It's the ESPN percentile, which I know is not what the what your bracket is on, but this is the only thing I have to go on right now.
Okay. All right. Well, keep us updated with that Kalish math coming in constantly. Right.
It's love ESPN math. I think they know what they're doing math wise more than I do.
Yes. Aman, did you have any questions for Jordan Kalish?
Nothing comes to mind. They're doing a good job. I mean,
all right. Well, we still got a lot to do in terms of the wiggle room. Josh Wiggler will be back. We have the wand off. Aman, if somehow we could ever get you involved with the wand off, you'd really blow the doors off this thing. I'd be so gooped.
Whenever you guys would like to meet for me to return, I definitely all game. I think I'll be finally. I haven't been able to be on like the Big Brother updates in a while. Finally, we'll get back into it this upcoming week. So
I know you said you feel like such a casual on Twitter.
I do. It's been I just been so busy. Not to sound like I'm so busy. It's not even that because I love Big Brother. I just really like this is like one of the first seasons in a while where I just can't like be as engaged and it's like really like messing with my self-image right now. I'm really feeling
do you have a favorite person on Big Brother Canada 6 or 7?
I really like Dane. I do. I think he's a bit of a goofball and he definitely is sort of heading into the danger zone this upcoming week, but I just like that how I just admire how he just goes for it and he just is who he is. And I like that about him. I like his energy a lot.
Yeah. This could be a very hot take on the Big Brother Canada front. Put on your seatbelt, Jordan. I don't think that anybody is, that has emerged as being that great yet.
What about Aika? What about Aika Wong?
Well, Aika's not on this season. Oh. She was on. It worked at Wendy's for a second.
Oh. Wait, yeah, why did we talk about her? Why was she reacting to the video then?
Because she's omniscient. She's queen. She's like if Big Brother
that
is one, on,
that wasn't
she's
on
around.
the show, Jordan. Yeah. That was on ET Canada.
Okay.
But I mean, I would have to agree, Rob. I think
nobody's popped yet.
Yeah, it's a little bit. But I'm still hopeful for the rest of the season. You know, things can ramp up. We still have some time left, and when people start to smell that money, it gets really, really heated. So I'm hoping for that.
There's no star of the show yet. Sometimes it takes a couple of weeks to develop, but
yeah, no Kevin Martin yet.
Not yet. Okay. All right. Aman, great job. Jordan, I commend you for all of your hard work that you put into each and every week of the show.
Thanks, bro. And Aman, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me. It's been a blast.
Okay. All right. We've got still the wiggle room to come this week, and then we will get back into. Oh, yes. Robin Akiva need a podcast coming up as well. The TV. We've done so many brackets in March on Robin Akiva need a podcast. Aman, do you have any idea what Robin Akiva need a podcast is?
I've heard Akiva. You know what? I think the only episode that I've ever heard Akiva on is like whenever you guys had the weird sisters on and you guys sorted yourselves into
I said because you're a Ravenclaw and I am a Hufflepuff.
You know, that's great, Rob. I'm happy for you.
So we've got a wheel of listener submitted podcast ideas. We spin it every single week, and this week what came up is a TV theme song bracket. So we will be going, I think it's going to be the Thrifty 32 top TV theme songs, and we're going to have a bracket. Aman, do you have a all-time favorite TV theme song?
Oh, TV theme song. You know, it's probably got to be The Proud Family on Disney Channel, because, you know, it just gets the Proud Family. Yes. Have you ever heard the theme song?
I've never heard Proud Family. I can't promise it's going to be in the bracket.
It probably won't be, but it was a show that was on Disney Channel when I was coming up.
Proud Family. Oh, featuring Solange.
Yes. Yes. Destiny Child and Solange.
They called us for the Proud Family theme song.
Here's Kelly Rowland. I met Kelly Rowland one time.
What? Really?
Yes,
no way.
Yes. That when I got done with Survivor, then they had like a CBS upfront day where they like, I don't even know how much the stuff they still do, but they basically like, they want to like sell the advertisers on the upcoming season of a TV show. So they had like this whole big thing, and that was presented by, Julie Chen Moonves' husband, and then they were going to do a whole big thing on Survivor, and they want to like get the advertisers, like all the people from like the ad agencies, like pumped up, and so they had Kelly Rowland there to perform "I'm a Survivor" for the crew. They could not. I guess either Beyonce was either busy or they could not afford her, or they had to get like a Neonce to be there. Kelly Rowland, and she had no idea who any of the people from my cast were, but she was super nice.
Oh, that's sweet.
She didn't know Butch. She didn't know who Butch was.
No,
you know she's considered the second best member.
She was
of
no
the
Aurora
group.
McCreary.
Who was the third member of Destiny's Child?
It's a saga. There was a fourth. There was a third and a fourth, and those two got cut. Then they added Michelle. Oh. So you probably know them as Beyonce, Kelly, and Michelle.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but yeah,
there were two others.
Good.
Yeah. I did see Beyonce as she was a opening act for Wyclef when they came to my college like 20 years ago. That's how old I am, Lamont.
So yeah, you got Beyonce in when she was not even like mega mega star yet.
When she was a nobody. Okay, this is the Proud Family.
I love as much as you, family, family, Proud Family.
Are they the Prouds?
Yep, they're the Prouds.
Okay. All right, like Proud Family.
That's nice.
All right. There you go.
Is Ancient Voices on the bracket?
I didn't make the bracket. You have to ask Alexander Chester.
Oh, okay. I'm going to tweet Chester right after this podcast.
I'm definitely interested in listening to that, so I'm pumped for that.
Okay, so that's going to be
do you know
on...
Do you know who Alexander Chester is?
Come on, Jordan.
Do no. I have to answer?
No.
No, you don't have to.
All right. So, Robin and Keevan need a podcast this weekend coming up, so be on the lookout for the TV theme song bracket. And then, of course, News AF will be back, and then more Survivor Know-It-Alls come Wednesday night in our regular time slot, talking about who comes back into the game. Okay. Thanks so much, everybody. Take care. Oh, and thanks to the patrons of Robin's Podcast. Make all of this podcasting possible. For more information about everything that we're doing behind the scenes at Robin's Podcast, or Rob has a website.com/patron. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.